All right. How are you getting on, you well? I'm kind of recording this. I'm recording this pod in secret. Told Terry, no, you go to bed. I'm just going to do a bit of packing, actually. Just heading off to Spain. España. Heading off to Spain there. But I wanted to speak to you. I wanted to speak to you personally. And maybe you might get a nice little ASMR vibes off this, but to me it feels like a little taboo. Just you and me. Do you like kissing? I don't know. What would you say?
I'm not good at flirting, and I'm not good at cheating. I will never cheat on my bird.
Oh, well, are you keeping you well? Packing now. Do you know what? We could have every duck that's ever existed in a row. We could have bags packed weeks in advance.
And we still fucking kill each other.
Right before we get on that flight. And this is how deluded I am, right? I got two kids. I'm packing my Nintendo Switch. I'm packing my Kindle. I'm packing my tablet. I'm loading up a load of X-Men comics. I'm downloading movies. Haven't a look at me. Look at me when I speak to you. Haven't a fucking hope of enjoying any of that content. Because my young fella's... There's a pool where we're going. And my young fella's very keen on spending as much time as he fucking can under that water. He's been doing swimming lessons and he's like, Daddy, look. And he just head first under the water until I pull him up. So that's going to be great. Mitch from Baywatch on show. That was David Hasselhoff's character. You wouldn't know. Yeah, you might know. But yeah, so we've done all that. But nice, yeah, packing. Still have fucking notions about maybe getting an Empire magazine. Do you know what I've bought so many times in the airport? Monocle. The Monocle. It's a very cool looking magazine. It's all current affairs. But there's a lot of words in it. A lot of big words in it. And I don't have the attention span for it. Oh, it reminds me. I need to pack my my meds.
And I'll tell you this as well.
No matter what the holiday, right? After 3 days, I need to be... I'm a miserable fuck. I'm looking forward to the holiday. But I tell you, 3 days, no matter what, if I'm at a rave and I'm fucking nose to nose with people, or if I'm in a library and people are just around me but not talking to me, I will still, after 3 days, be like, get away from me, humanity. But, you know, when you get to my age, son, you kind of, you notice these routines, you notice these kind of habits, and you just need to bake them in to the fabric of the fucking holiday, do you know what I mean? So, we're heading off today, it's Friday, by about Monday evening I'll be fairly spent, so probably need to go for a walk Monday evening. Tuesday I'll probably need to do something that requires very little interaction with anyone. It's this introverted extrovert thing, you know. I just genuinely do not derive any energy from people. No, I do, but I also just, I need a bit of quiet time. And, you know, I can be critical of myself for having that quiet time. I can be critical of just being my neck arched over my phone at like a 90 degree angle, just looking at TikToks, but I need it. You might need it too. Yeah, I don't know if you ever find yourself on holidays and you're like, this is great, but I wouldn't mind. That's what I love about Total Recall so much, is that great line in Total Recall where Schwarzenegger's going into the place, Recall. And the whole thing is that you can go on a holiday and become a different person. You know, you kind of have these little VR fantasies. And that's what's great about the movie. It's like, is the whole thing of VR fantasy, because he goes in there thinking, oh, I'd love to have a spy fantasy. I'd love to meet a brunette and go to Mars and all this stuff. And then he does all these things. But the way after he goes into the VR thing, it's kind of like, oh, no, hang on. There's something up with his brain. Something's not going right. And then he starts freaking out, going, ah, la, 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 you know. But the guy who's selling him the idea, this recall fantasy, he goes, hey, what's the one thing that's been you've had in common with everywhere you've ever gone on holiday? You. It's always been you that's been there. Have you ever had a holiday away from yourself? Oof. I think that's what mushrooms is, to be honest. I haven't done mushrooms in years. The last time I had effective, actually, we did magic mushrooms on my first trip to Amsterdam. And a lot of my friends do mushrooms, and they say, that's great now. Now, what I need now, that's been a kind of an ego reset. It's just wiping the slate clean and just seeing what's important, you know. Just stripping the fog and just seeing what you have and kind of a bit of gratitude of what you have and what you want to do and, you know, kind of shedding that kind of skin, shedding the burdens and just thinking about what you actually want to do. I haven't had one of those. I haven't had a mushroom trip since having like a purpose, you know, because I've been so aimlessly wandering. You know, I spent 30 years aimlessly wandering around without any kind of purpose. Not feeling like I was very good at anything or had anything to contribute. So I wouldn't mind now that I have a bit of purpose. But first time we did what everyone does. When you go to Amsterdam, I was like 18. Yeah, how's the strongest place? Excuse me, Dutch lad. Can I have the strongest fucking shrooms you got? So we did them. And it was like 16 of us, not probably 12 of us, in like one dorm, which was great. Like six double beds, or six fucking bunk beds. And, you know, at first, one person started giggling. Which, now looking back on it, you know, if you ever take something, I wonder if, is the first person for it to kick in someone with like a lower constitution? Do I have more body mass? Do I have more muscle? The only reason I think that is because I was the last person for it to hit. And people were giggling. They said like they were on a roller coaster. I'm like, oh, can't wait for that. And then it was like, fucking. But like you're still in the room, you're still chatting to people, but it kind of feels like, I remember we were all kind of just like laughing. But it's that kind of like laughing with intensity that you're actually not really laughing. You're just kind of being serious, but you know you're joking. Do you know what I mean? Don't know if that makes any sense. And my cousins are actually the weirdest thing was when we all did this in unison. It was so crazy. One of my mates said, sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. We were all coming up on mushrooms. And one of my mates said, imagine we, because everyone's like, I feel like I'm getting higher and higher off this shit. And then my mate said, imagine we never come down. Imagine we just keep going. And then there was like, oh, I know, fuck that now. That's a bit too much now. Shut the fuck up with that shit. And we were like, we felt glued to our beds. And we had no idea how long we'd been there for. It was like 12 of us just lying in our beds. And my mate hopped off the bunk bed out of nowhere. He just stood up. And all of us in unison were like, what are you fucking doing? What are you doing? And then he got so scared, he jumped back into his bed and put the duvet over him. He said, what? And then we were like, actually, no, sorry. We just didn't know we were allowed to get off the bed. and then my mate, who didn't want to do the shrooms because he was a bit afraid of it, just smoked a lot of weed. And he had a panic attack and that sobered all of us up. And I was just kind of like, man, maybe we should just like, you know, get a bit of air or something. We should head out. And he said the weirdest thing ever. He goes, Tony, man, I'm freaking out right now. And I know you're just trying to be nice, but I want to kick your fucking head in. I was fucking cracked up laughing. I'm like, what? All I'm saying is we should get a bit of air. But he was like freaking out. Turned him off anything for a good 15 years, you know. And then we headed out and into the bright lights of Amsterdam, and it was too exciting. my cousin started chasing after some person on a bike. And he just kept shouting, this city, this is my city. And then we went up, we asked him what the fuck was all that shit about. And he goes, sorry, I thought I was in an Adidas ad there for a while. I'm like, fuck. And then I heard that by drinking something sugary, you could end the mushroom trip. So I went to McDonald's. I ended up ordering a whole fucking meal, but I really just wanted a big drink. And I went to McDonald's and I was chatting to your one. And I was like, trying to speak fucking Dutch for some reason. Like, everyone had spoken English. Every step of the way. I knew they spoke English, but now I was so high that I thought I had to speak Dutch. So I was pointing at the board in McDonald's and I was like, frites. And the woman was like, what? And I was like, Big Mac, gross frites. I mean, big fries. And then she just said, sorry, could you just come over to the counter, please? And then I looked down and I was like 20 feet away from the counter. I thought like I was in the middle of the fucking McDonald's talking to this woman, like standing in the middle of the floor, being like, gross frites. Looked fucking mental. And then I just drank the drink and then finally chilled out. Then the most recent time was actually during COVID. It was during a brief break we were able to, it was still 2020, but it was one of those brief summertime break when we were allowed to see each other again, kind of outdoor fun. So we went camping and this was like the big fucking blowout. It was too much, actually. It was too much. We were like thinking like, all right, we couldn't see each other. We'll all go camping. We'll sleep in separate tents. I found this great wild camping spot that my mate showed me. He went down the week before, scoped it out, dropped the pin, told the lads, went shopping, bought all the grub. People threw the money in the kitty. I was like, I'll pick up the grub. If someone wants to cook, that's fine. And if someone can bring a cooler, store it all up, that's great. And bought a shitload of booze, crates of booze, spirits, everything. Bought a bit of weed. And then my mate brought some kind of shroom chocolates, which is pretty sweet. And we got down there and started immediately just getting into the cans, sitting around the fire, cooking just like slices of Brennan's off the fire. Didn't eat much. We bought enough alcohol for the lot of us, maybe like 17 people. Brought enough booze for probably like 3 days, and we went through it in one night. It was insane. And then I did a kind of chocolate, and then I was getting mad giddy and I was kind of getting a bit mischievous-y, you know, but it seemed to be landing. I was kind of slagging everyone, but it seemed to be landing, you know. Or maybe I was just being a bit paranoid that I was, no, do you know what it was? Someone said to me, you're being a real menace. And I was like, fuck. And he's like, no, it's good. I'm like, all right, grand. You know the way people, when you're that fucked up, you just kind of talk to each other like your children. I saw this the other day. Somebody's cousin was sitting next to him. And she just turns to him and goes, I'm your cousin. And just goes back to eating her meal. And I'm like, that's the sort of patter that you have when you're when you're pissed in the woods. And then we went, I had this weird torch headlight. And for some reason I could only get the red light to work. And it was like flashing. And we stumbled into the forest and we found a hut that had been built by hand. And inside was like a lot of skulls, which was fucking awesome. And then we were just like blaring Darude in this cabin full of skulls with a red light flashing. And I didn't even remember that until I looked at the video the next day. And then we all went to bed. Some of my mates had like, my mate had fallen into, he'd stepped into a puddle and went honestly like chest high into this puddle, up into the mud. And he had a change of clothes, but he didn't have a change of boots. So he was walking around in wet boots all night. And then he put his boots by the fire. And the next morning he woke up and he got the boots. And they were melted and still wet. They were melted. They were like now a size too small, with like jagged, like little rubber, kind of little stalagmites on the inside of it. and they were still wet. Thought that was so funny. And we all came out of our tent and we looked over at the cooler and there was no food and everyone, it had been left in the bags. No one had packed the food away. So we were pretty hungry. And we had planned on staying for 2 days. There was a lovely hike up to a dolmen up on a hill. And that's what I love about Ireland, is that you can really access like Neolithic tombs. And it's not like Stonehenge, it's not blocked off. There's rocks older than Newgrange that you can just fucking walk up to, you can sit on. It's amazing. But we were so, it was cold, it was wet. We also realised the next morning that we had camped in the middle of a dirt bike track, like on a dirt bike track. So we woke up to a bunch of scramblers going, and then just stopping, oh, for fuck's sake. And then just, you could hear them going, you could hear the distant sound of them just driving around the town. And then we all came out of our tents, and because we had dropped the pin on a group chat, my mate Aidan rocked up on his motorbike, and we were all just standing there like freezing, not talking. And then he just goes, Chadwick Boseman died. And I'm like, oh fuck, oh no, Black Panther, oh no. And then at that point we're like, are we fucking going home? And I talked about this in the pod, but you know, bears repeating, I came home, Terry had given me, you know, the weekend. She had, you know, we only had Sunny at the time, he was a couple of months old, she'd stayed in her parents, I'd taken the car. And I'm on the phone to her again at 11 a.m. saying, yeah, I'm on the way back. And she laughed her fucking ass off at me. She was also in the car with her ma. And she laughed as well. And considering we only arrived at camp about 6 p.m. the fact that we were leaving like 11 a.m. it's like it's like 18 hours. It's like 18 hours in the woods. And I also like got a lot of cuts and everything. Like, it's just, you know, it's not for me. It's not for me. I'm reading a book on the Donner Party at the moment. Donner Party at the moment. Those are those lads who headed up into the Sierra Nevada mountains and ended up eating each other. I'm only at the start of the book, and it's kind of talking about other, you know, similar stories of trappers who had led people down the wrong trail, and just thinking of people fucking heading down roads that do not exist, thinking, yeah, I'm going to give this a shot, you know. Got a good feeling about walking directly through this bush with my whole family and a load of oxen and a load of wagons. Like, you know, call me crazy, but I'm pretty sure California is this way. But the amount of people that were just in these kind of small mining towns or small, you know, kind of traveler hubs. And there's this guy called Stephen Meek. And there's a picture of him on Wikipedia. And he's got a big fucking bushy man of the bush beard. An actual bear head for a hat. Just covered in like crudely stitched fucking, you know, pelts. And he was a trapper. And, you know, he led this really rich family into this, what was called Meek's Pass. And they got lost and, you know, a load of them died and got diseases and stuff. But the idea that you'd have these rich Yankees coming from New York just being like, yeah, something about this guy. Must be the bear blood dripping down his fucking beard. Makes me think this guy knows. Hey, you want to go down this road? You know? But people were heartier then. Not like now. Not like now. But, yeah, I'm reading books like that thinking about, you know, adventure. You know, what it is to, I think I've been leaning very heavy into like the digital world. If you've been listening to the Young Hot Guys, I think I've been bringing up the idea that we're going to live forever in kind of slow motion with chips in our brains, which I do believe. I do believe that we'll probably, our bodies live to 90 or 100. But when we get into the kind of the winter years, I reckon it'll be like, okay, now rather than actually going to, you know, a home that we're, you know, able to just go into not the metaverse, but go into some sort of VR space and have a chip in our brains that kind of slows the, you know, slows time, essentially. You jump into this thing, it feels like, you know, you've been in it for, you know, 10 years and it's been 1 year, you know, so we get to live a bit longer there. You know, and I don't mind if I'm hooked up to tubes, if I get to play table tennis with Zuckerberg, bro, with my little metaverse head floating around with no legs. I do think that's the way it's going, but I've been leaning into that, thinking that we're kind of going to live much longer in a digital space. But now I'm kind of thinking, there's something to this natural world. Do you know what I mean? There's something really to this fucking natural world. No, I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking, like, people really fucking push themselves, you know? People would just canoe across frozen lakes. I'm obsessed with this guy on YouTube called Luke. He's Luke. He never gives his surname, but he's Luke from The Outdoor Boys. And he basically does all these, like, survival camps. You've definitely seen one pop up on your TikTok algorithm. He, you know, might build an underground snow shelter. He'll go out without a sleeping bag and just lie under, like, animal hides and stuff. He's not like the Liver King. Like, he's legit. Does some pretty good, you know, bushcraft cooking and all that kind of stuff. But he's really out there. I'm drawn to the outdoor, to the outdoors, rather than I am suited for it, you know. I keep thinking if I could go back in time. People have this fantasy, you know, oh, I'll tell you if I could go back in time. I'd, you know, invest in Apple. I'd invent the TV. I'd go up to some fucking whiz kid and be like, here, do you know pictures? Yeah. What if they could move? Now you figure it out. That's the thing. I wouldn't know. There would be no advantage of me going back. Don't know how radio works. I'd go back, you know, I'd get trod on by, you know, a horse and cart. I'd smash my glasses. I'd get bitten by a spider and I'd eat a poisonous berry within like 15 minutes of me going back in time before I could tell anyone that they should invent the TV or to invest in apples, you know. But I'm still drawn to the, yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. I suppose what I mean is, I don't know, I'm wondering more now about experiences. This kind of always happens, though. I've been staring at a screen for a long time, for the last while. You know, I got this tour coming up, as you know, Litterbox, and thank you very much, everyone who came out to Shitterbox, a work in progress show where I tested out some new material and people were very nice. But I'm also writing a lot. That's been the main thing that's been going on. And I have like a sitcom. I'm making a sitcom. It's been greenlit by RTE. I'm making an RTE sitcom. It's unreal. Like, it's contracts signed. It has to happen. So I'm fucking delighted about that. And I'm really, really enjoying writing it. It's called Good Boy. And it's kind of semi-autobiographical. It's kind of all about aimlessly wandering around without any purpose, being regularly distracted. Has elements of, you know, me getting sacked from all the jobs I got sacked from. A lot of kind of funny stories from personal experience. And also, you know, someone with a kind of buried desire to do comedy, but never really having the courage to do it. And it's funny. I think it's going to be pretty fun. Oh, I can hear my young fella crying upstairs. Hang on. Sorry about that. I had to go up to the young fella there. I think, do you know what? I think I gave him too big. I told him the plot to... So it's next day. Sorry, this podcast is late. I'm just going to wrap this up now. And I'm going to be away next week for Easter. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, give you, you know, my life updates, tell you what's going on. I'm going to miss you now for the week. I'm going to end up fucking burning the ears off the in-laws. telling them all about how the moon is hollow and how there's dragons everywhere because of David Icke and all that stuff.
That's the fucking real me. That's the real me. This is the real me. No, no, Terry, no, I won't. There's dragons around the world because the first man went into a cave with an interdimensional reptilian. And
sorry, I'm after kicking off fucking bike here. I think I got Sonny too excited last night. I told him the plot for Star Wars A New Hope. And I just told him. And I like broke down the whole story. I was like, there was a farmer called Luke Skywalker. And he met two droids. And the droids told him that there was a princess captured in a giant space station called the Death Star. And I told him the whole story and he was a fucking jaw on the ground. Couldn't believe it. And then I was telling him plot by plot. And then I got to the bit where I was like, and then his friend Han Solo said, Luke, I cannot join you in this battle. I need to go home. Jabba the Hutt has a price on my head and I need to pay it. And Sonny was like crying. He's like, what? But was Luke sad? And I was like, yeah, he was sad because, you know, Han was his best friend. And he was like crying. And like, I should have just been like, you know, no, it's fine. No, look, it's fine. But I wanted him to feel the when Han. So then I was like, so then Luke went off. And he was, and then all the rebels went off and they started heading towards the Death Star and they headed into a little valley and they were aiming and Luke could see the hole to shoot the final missile that would blow up the Death Star and make sure that Darth Vader didn't hurt anyone else. But as he was pulling up to the hole, Darth Vader arrived in his TIE fighter and, Luke, and my son's like, wah, ah, ah. And then I was like, and then Darth Vader is shooting one of his wings off. And then he shot another wing, and Luke only had two of his four wings on the X-Wing left, which isn't true, but you know what I mean, it just adds to the suspense. And Darth Vader is aiming, and he's about to take his final shot at Luke Skywalker, and he's about to press the big red button when then, his TIE fighter gets shot. Bah! And who is it? It's Han Solo, he's back! And Sonny jumped up and down. He was shaking with the excitement. He was like, ah! And then Han Solo said, you got this. Now let's blow this thing and go home. And pew, shoots it in. Laser goes in. Death Star blows up. And he was like, fucking yes! And you know what? There's so much Star Wars now that people get to pick some fucking preference and some order. But don't tell me, like, you don't, there's so much Star Wars now, you don't even think of one of the greatest moments in cinema history is Han Solo coming back to help Luke Skywalker and shoot Darth Vader and for Luke to then blow up the Death Star. It was friendship that did it. He didn't have any friends. Well, they did, but they were edited out of the final cut. And then everyone gets a medal, including Chewbacca, I says. So it was. He was very excited. It was a wonderful, wonderful thing. It kept him up a bit, though, I think, to be fair. And then I told him Empire Strikes Back, and he was just like crying the whole time. He's like, is that any way? So many bad things happening to Luke and Han. Didn't tell him the Han got frozen. I also didn't tell him that Obi-Wan dies in the first one, you know. But I told him that Luke had a daddy and he went bad, you know. But he didn't like it. It was a bit too much. Like Yoda, you know, because I do a great Yoda voice. Anyway, look. I'm going to head off now. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I love you dearly. I'm going to miss you next week. I'm going to be back the following week. I'm on a little Easter break. And I'll be back week after next on the main feed and this sub feed. So thank you very much for listening to this pod. I love you. I adore you. All the best. Bye-bye.